The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, shalom, shalom. How are you this afternoon?
Shalom, shalom. Feeling good because allegedly we are about to exit lockdown tomorrow morning.
So that is a big deal, Rolene, like a massive deal, actually. Is there a palpable feeling in Israel of things are about to change?
There's a palpable feeling in Israel, not that things are about to change, but that enough is enough. Very interesting and robust discussions in the Knesset today. You know, the coronavirus cabinet was supposed to meet yesterday. That meeting was delayed, and finally they're meeting as we speak. And Defense Minister Benny Gantz saying, you know, it's enough with this lockdown nonsense. He says either you lock down completely or not at all. He says, and he does have a point. He says we still have a very, very high infection rate, which goes to show that this whole lockdown has been a fake lockdown. It hasn't worked like it was hoped to work. You know, this is happening parallel to our vaccination rollout. Today we opened up vaccines to any citizen over the age of 16. And, you know, the vaccinations are not mandatory, but the government is encouraging as many people as possible to get vaccinated. The real carrot that's been dangled is the green passport. Yesterday, we heard that Israel and Greece are talking about a corridor for travel with a green passport that would allow for tourism to start opening up between the two countries. And we've heard today that we're not so sure what the exit plan or strategy is for tomorrow. Some mall owners, some restaurateurs, some small business owners saying they're not waiting for any exit strategy. They will decide whether or not they want to start opening tomorrow. The toll that a lockdown has taken on their businesses is just too much, and it cannot go on like this. Of course, it's going to be very interesting to see in a week or so's time what the infection rates are going to be in the communities that have flagrantly flouted it and have had big funerals or big weddings or opened up schools. Some schools, it's been debated, in low infection areas like Modi Inn and various others may open next week. Some schools in places like Jerusalem, Beit Shemesh, parts of Tel Aviv might not open next week because of high infection rates. But this is where we're at. The one thing I will give to the Prime Minister is that he cancelled his scheduled trips to Bahrain and the UAE next week, saying that while we have a travel restriction in place, it wouldn't be a good idea for him to go and travel. I think there would have been a major outcry if he had. And also today, the Palestinians receiving their Sputnik Russian vaccines, at least 10,000 of them, so they can begin their vaccination rollout within the weeks.
Ro, have we got any idea, I'm putting you on the spot, I know, about what percentage of the population has been vaccinated to date?
We don't have percentages, but 2 days ago we had well over 3 million people who had been vaccinated, and at least half of that receiving the second dose. So they were fully Pfizered. I suppose, and I haven't looked at that. I was waiting for you to text me that. That's my Valentine's
Excellent.
Present to my husband, who will receive his second dose on Valentine's Day. That's my Valentine's present to him, is that he'll be fine.
Oh, fantastic. I'm just interested because, you know, Professor Shoup talks to us about herd immunity at a level of 65 plus, and you're halfway there.
We've led the world per capita from the beginning of this process and daily. We are ahead by an absolute long shot. So it really is an absolute extraordinary effort by Israel, by Israelis, And, you know, a lot of discussion about why Israel's vaccination process has been such a major success. And, you know, we can talk about that. We can talk about the fact that the government acted very, very quickly to secure vaccines, that, you know, we have this incredibly well-organized healthcare system with its data, and that maybe, yes, we are a laboratory for the world. We're not complaining about that. You know, we're proud to do it if it means saving lives and opening economies. We're happy to do it. I haven't heard very many people, except for some small fringe folk, complaining. We don't have a very big anti-vax community. We have the few people who are anti-vax, but, you know, not like the United States or like we see Piers Corbyn, the brother of Jeremy Corbyn in the United Kingdom, who's just been arrested for sharing his anti-vax opinion, which means comparing going for a vaccine to Auschwitz, which is appalling on a level that I cannot even comprehend.
Agreed. Absolutely.
One wonders what kind of household Piers and Jeremy grew up in if they are so full of seething venom for Jews that this is the way that they behave. Yes, we have had an incredible, incredible vaccination program. And I have to give it to Maccabi, and I know that the other HMOs are exactly the same, in the astounding efficiency, friendliness, and professionalism.
Ro, I think the other person who actually deserves some kudos here is the man that I'm not particularly fond of, Benjamin Netanyahu. I think he got on this bus very quickly. He saw it was coming and he started negotiations on time. So on one hand, 10 out of 10, fantastic, wonderful. And then my problem is, what is he doing with Otzma Yehudit and Noam and these crazy right-wing loony parties?
Well, you know what? The one thing I love about Israel, and I'm very proud of this fact, is that we don't have this woke cancel culture here. You know, we are a country where to be politically correct doesn't exist, and that you can have these absolute divergent opinions for one person or for one party. You know, you can have friends who are maybe in the right camp or in the left camp, have a vehement disagreement, which I have on a number of occasions, and still continue eating your Shabbat dinner together. You know, that's what we have. It's something that I'm actually extremely, extremely proud of as an Israeli. I think that other countries like the United States and the United Kingdom should take a look at, you know, how we conduct ourselves sometimes. And maybe this is why we feature high on the happiness index. But yes, on the one hand, we do applaud the Prime Minister for reacting very, very quickly. And on the other hand, there's this feeling that, you know, continue to do this and you are going to be saying farewell to a large percentage of your voters. What's interesting with this election is that you've got two other challengers who sit in the right camp. You know, before there used to be this hysterical kind of electioneering, you better vote Bibi or the left's going to take over. I myself am not a fan of, you know, blame the left, blame the right. I think more often than not, issues are far more complex than that, and I prefer to be in the center. But here you've got two very, very real challenges in Bennett and in Saar. Also, I find cuddling up or cozying up to Otzma extremely baffling after he's just tried to encourage Arab voters to vote for him. It's like, you know, what are you trying to do with the Prime Minister?
Inexplicable. It is interesting, Rolene, that a lot of the commentary is saying this is the first election in Israeli history where ideology will have nothing to do with anything, because there is no Israeli left contesting this election in any meaningful way.
Well, not in a meaningful way. We have seen signs of life coming from the Labour Party. They've just elected a new leader, female, young, strong. there might be signs of life, so we can't discount the Labour Party yet. The Labour Party, who were really on life support in the previous elections. What is concerning is, where is the centre? We're going to possibly see a change in Prime Minister. Everybody brace yourself, because I know a lot of people think, the world is going to end.
The world will end. Prime Minister. Yeah.
But, you know, we also have to understand the man is a mere mortal, and there will come a day when he will not be Prime Minister anymore, whether he's voted out or, you know, it's a natural progression or whatever. And this election could do it. He has two challenges in his camp that are polling very high. But we also can't discount the second highest polling party, and that is Yesh Atid. What will be interesting to see is if any centrist parties, what's left of them, band together to boost Yesh Atid and push that forward.
Well, I thought we had extra time today and we'd get through everything, but we just never do. We always run out. So let's very quickly address this issue of the UN apparently hoping for a return to negotiations between Israelis and Palestinians.
Well, we've heard from the Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, saying that he hopes that the quartet can get Israel and the Palestinians back to the negotiating table. The quartet is the UN, the EU, Russia, and the United States. His rationale is, with a new administration coming in, maybe now is the time to see a return to negotiations. And it's going to be very interesting because, you know, we also have to remember that it was the Palestinians who opted out of negotiations. The Trump peace plan, which was also supportive of a two-state solution, albeit in a different, more out-of-the-box approach. And yes, it did seem more favored towards Israel, was still supportive of a two-state solution. So we're not seeing a departure in policy here. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens moving forward. First of all, we have to see if we're actually going to have a Palestinian election. That's going to be perhaps a change maker.
Ro, can't believe it. It's 5:30. We're out of time. So to my fully Pfizered Rolene Marks, you'll be back with me on Monday. Shabbat shalom.
I'm not fully Pfizered.
Okay. Well, hopefully you will be soon. Cheers. Toda rabbah and Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
She's not quite fully Pfizered. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, she certainly isn't.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.